Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Sarah and Vinny Secret Show, brought to you by Odyssey. This is the Sarah and Vinny Secret Show. Just a heads up, episodes sometimes include content not suitable for work and definitely not safe for kids. Now available on the Odyssey app.
Got a little secret, I think you want to know. A dirty little secret, about a secret little show.
Sarah and Vinny.
Sorry.
It's okay. Sarah and Vinny's Secret Show for Friday, December 10th, 2021. It's just Sarah, Vinny, and Brinny. Mm-hmm. It's just the three of us today. Nikki had something she had to run off and do.
Yep.
And so we wish her the best with that. I would also like to say happy birthday to our dear friend Scott Capujo.
Capujo.
Because it is his birthday today. His last year in his 50s. When we met him, he was like a young 33-year-old buck.
Slut.
Slut. He was a buck slut. And now he's
a married guy.
Yep.
Whispering in the closet.
Yes. I don't want to wake the monster. Capujo, have you just woken me up? You're in trouble now, Capujo.
Hey, I got a couple texts. Someone wrote in and said they think it's a Michael Crichton book that has those bots. It might be. Anyway, I don't know.
I've
read a million books, and I don't even think I've read
a
lot.
Is Deception Point the one where they've somehow planted a rock that they're saying has?
Yes.
Okay. And then the one thing I remember from that, which I thought was amazing, is they're stranded on an iceberg, and they start banging on the top of it an SOS, and somehow, before they freeze to death, and somehow, I don't know why that just has stuck with me. I'm like, well, I know what I'm going to do if I'm ever stuck on an iceberg.
I don't remember if that's the book I was talking about with the bots, but there's definitely, it made me think of an older book I've read that the bots were, it was neat. And apparently we're headed towards that technology. Science fiction.
I love it. Science fiction real. Predicts the future. It really does.
Technology.
I'm telling you, I read those books, that Hyperion book, and they predicted the internet. They call it the all thing. And they talk about how everyone's trolling on this interweb, and they have a metaverse and all that. I mean, it's incredible. Like, I guess the smart people saw it coming. They knew that it would happen.
Yeah, I mean, there were rumors about this. I think a lot of the work was done at Stanford too, right?
Yeah.
And there were...
Was it an army thing first or like a military thing first?
We had a lot of military tech here too in Mountain View and Palo Alto, a ton of it.
Yeah.
So,
but
anyway.
To think that a book that was written in like the 80s totally called all this junk. It's like even 1984, the Big Brother book. Is that the name of it? George Orwell book.
Yeah.
That had a lot of stuff, like, you know, sort of designer kids and gene fucking with people's genes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And
I don't want to take away from science fiction, you know, writers, because I do think they do a great job. But I'm assuming that we were just kids at that time and weren't really reading the paper or a lot of things that were probably available saying, this is what's coming.
Yes, maybe so they read that somewhere.
That might be something that they sort of had.
Right.
Been tipped off to, and then they had a jumping off point for their science fiction story. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
I love sci-fi. It's such a great escape. Mm-hmm. I was telling you that The Expanse season 6 is on, I think it's on Amazon. Those books, if you like sci-fi, and I love it. I mean, I like it better than anything except maybe a good Stephen King book. Those books are, they're fucking epic. What happens is brilliant. Like the what this person has devised in their mind, whoever wrote these damn things. The first one's called Leviathan Wakes, and it's just
amazing. This is the thing that's become a series you're watching?
It is a series. And it's funny because I watched the series. I watched the first couple of seasons before I ever started the books, because it says based on the Expanse series by so-and-so. And I watched the first couple seasons. And I'm like, all right. And then as I'm reading the book, I'm like, oh, that's what, like, you almost have to read the books to understand what's happening in the show. Like, me and John watched it, and I had read the books then, so we went back and we watched the whole thing again. I'm like, okay, pause it. I'm going to tell you why that's important and what's it, like, which is a ridiculous way to watch a show, but now that I've read all the books, I'm going to...
I think there's an assumption that a moviegoer, it will just pass them by and it won't ruin the... But if you've read the book, you probably do feel like, you need to know this.
Yeah.
You've got to know this. There's a thing missing.
Right. You don't even... You're like, why would he do that? And then... Someone, these ones in particular, it's almost like the show is a companion piece to the book. So you can see the casting and you see, but they're not explaining it the way they can in a book, which they have as many pages as they want to explain it in. That's why I love books. Tell me everything.
One more text, just real quick before we start. 510 says, you guys are driving me crazy. Superman, the movie, when you were doing that, the most expensive movies of each decade, Superman was so expensive because... They overshot, and Marlon Brando got $1 million for every day of overshooting.
Oh, my God. If it took long... What did Marlon Brando do in that movie?
I don't remember. I don't even remember... I remember the movie with Richard Pryor, but that was like Superman 3.
I don't remember that
one. I don't even remember the first one.
I remember him and Lois getting together on the top.
That's quite the conscience. That's a good agent. That is a good agent.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. We won't have to pay him.
Marlon can only give you 2 weeks. So in his contract, he's going to need guarantees that you're going to stay on schedule.
$1 million a day. Is that enough of a guarantee for you? That's funny. All right. I have a couple good things here. This is sort of a fun one for a Friday, which, I mean, it's very light. And I know that I know people who, I don't know people who will do this on Zoom, but I definitely know people who will do this while they're on the phone with you. And it's wrong. I'm just going to go on record saying it's wrong.
Is this a pooping thing?
It's a anything private thing.
Okay.
This is, let me see if I can say his name. You know what? I'm not going to. Hello, radio friends. Thanks to your show, commute time is something fun instead of a drag. May God grant you long life, amazing orgasms, and endless joy.
All right. What a nice thing to wish, right?
Yep.
Just wanted to get some bad advice on a fun and somewhat annoying topic. Boomers on Zoom and video chats. Both of my parents live abroad, and apparently separately. So it's important to stay in touch with them, and we all appreciate the technology that keeps our loved ones close to us. However, there is a sensitive issue. Why would they think it's okay to go to the bathroom while they're chatting? They place the phone where they think you won't see, but you may get a strange close-up of them pulling down their undies while sitting. And then the toilet sounds, even after explaining how to mute their phone. Now when I see that they're heading down the hall, I just hang up. No, Ma. No, thank you. See you later, Dad. One day I talked to one of my aunties, and she did the same thing. Hold on, let me pee real quick. Why do they do that? I also talked to my dad about wearing a shirt when I'm about to invite a grandkid or a friend into the conversation. He lives in the Caribbean, I guess. They say here the Caribe. Is that sort of the roundup for the Caribbean?
Oh, I don't know.
Caribe. And he just doesn't get it. The subject is annoying and fun at the same time, but for some of our beloved boomers, it seems to be a hurtful topic. They complain later if I hang up as abruptly as they decide to go take a dump. I can put up with a close-up of their hairy, waxy ears to hear better because they can't find the volume settings. But there should be something we can do to lay down loving boundaries and convey tech etiquette without hurting their feelings. Anybody having similar experiences? Much love to you all. This person, whose name I guess I won't say.
You know, phone/Zoom etiquette is a problem. I've talked to my mom about this a million times, something like this, where she will go, this is just one example, but this is one of the big examples. She'll go, oh, your brother's right here. You want to talk to him? If he's right there and you've just said that out loud, do I actually have the option of fucking saying no now? No, I don't. I now have to talk to my brother because you've asked out loud.
Yeah, put him on.
In front of him, whether or not I want to talk to him. Let me help you, Ma. Did I call him? No, I called you.
Did you talk to her about this?
But privately? I don't want... So it's one of those things where that's just... It's dumb. It's no big deal. It's not the end of the world.
If he really wants to talk to me, he should just put his head over your shoulder and go, "Hey, Brock, can you call me later? I got something to talk to you about."
Right.
Because guess what? The conversation we're going to have, you don't want to hear, Mom.
So, yeah, that's just one of those... I don't know what that is. It's phone, you know... Look, technology's moved fast. And it's moved fast for even those of us who've tried to keep up.
Yep.
But I think old people, they're just caught, man. Yeah. They're not going to get it.
There's no fixing them.
And you're probably better off with... I love that you just hung up.
You're heading down the hall? Bye.
To me, that's save yourself and be done with it. And don't feel bad.
Yeah. Your brother posted on Instagram, I guess he's got some new car frame. You know, the cute brother, Keith.
Yeah.
And the one I assume is hanging out with your mom. I know. But he just picks up like dead frames of cars?
No, he has 7 projects going at once all times.
And a big enough space to put them all in?
He has a 3-car garage and it's filled with his crap. Yes.
Oh, that's good.
And I would imagine because he also works in the garage that most of the stuff ends up flooding out onto the driveway and street.
That's got to be great for his neighbors.
It makes neighbors so happy.
Front yard, junkyard.
Yep.
Well, I might need a part. I'm going to throw this in the front yard. And I mean, that is my land.
Yes, it is. He's just busy with that stuff. He's doing him, man. We've talked about this. I would feel bad for him, but these are the things that make him happy.
Yeah.
He doesn't want a girlfriend. He wants to work on cars in his garage.
He probably gets laid when he wants to. Good looking guy like that, you know? Controls the
bars. I don't know what that looks like, you know, when you're desperate for something. Often what's the term? Beggars can't be choosers.
Mm. Right. Yeah, no, he doesn't care. It's not like he's, you know, marrying her.
Right.
Or even taking her home. He's probably doing her in his fancy ass car out in the parking lot.
Maybe.
All right, get out, bitch. I'm done now.
Yeah, I don't know, but
thanks
he's
busy.
Thanks
for the ride, good looking.
At all times with his project cars.
That's funny. So I think you're handling it well, sir or madam. I'm sorry that happens. That is definitely a thing. It's long been a thing with one person in particular in my life who I would only be on the phone with, thank God. But I would be, you know, blah, 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 telling them something. And then I'd be like, I'm sorry. Do I hear a strong stream? Are you peeing right now? And God forbid anything else. And I did say, I'm like, please don't. Please just call me later.
Oh.
You know?
Oh.
I don't
So this is who now?
I'm not telling you. It's my brother. Oh. So it's, you know, I think it's private. But it happened. And it he's very comfortable with that. And it was a long time ago, and it hasn't happened since. But I did.
I'd be less worried about peeing, but I draw the line at poop. I don't want anyone. I get it.
No, you're in the bathroom, for God's sake.
But I don't want that.
All right, Brent.
It can wait.
We don't need sound effects on this one in particular.
Whatever we're talking about can wait if you've got to go poop. That's right.
Or did you receive the mail I sent you?
Oh, come on. Get out of here. Stop it.
I have texted people while I'm on the toilet, though, you know. But they don't know. They can't hear it. So it's, you know, I'm taking care of business and from every angle. Next up. I'm going to say that this is not a situation I would ever find myself in just because I'm not a gay man, A, and because I just wouldn't be in an open relationship. So let me start at the beginning and...
Okay.
Maybe we can help this person. I don't know if I have advice for him, but maybe you guys do. Hello, Alice family. Longtime listener. First time writing into The Secret Show, but you guys almost always read my texts, which is so amazing.
Nice.
Here's the situation, or should I say situationship. Mm. I'm 37, gay male, living in the Bay Area. You can call me M. 11 years ago, I meet a guy. Let's call him B. While we were both in a musical production together. Sounds great.
Yeah, it does.
M and B.
M is our writer. B is the boyfriend. Man and boy.
Mercedes-Benz.
Right. Yes. So they meet. They're working on a musical production together, and he got a huge crush on him right away. We started hanging out and would go to
Wait, who did? M?
M and B meet on this production, and M, our main, our writer, has a crush on this guy right away.
Okay.
Likes him. We started hanging out, and we'd go to the Castro almost every weekend as friends, but I still had feelings for him. Nothing ever came of it, though, except we ended up being really great friends. And flash forward to today, he's one of my best friends. A few years ago, it did become a friends with benefits thing, which is great for both of us, because neither of us was interested in a relationship with each other or anyone else, just two friends having a gay old time. We'll have a gay old time. I'll always care about him, but I no longer have the romantic feelings I used to for him, or so I thought. Here's where the bad advice comes in. A few weeks ago, after a few drinks, B tells me that he could see himself with me for the rest of his life and us being happy together. But he also wants to be with someone else that he cares about that he's currently talking to.
Okay.
Let that sink in. I like you and I can see us together the rest of our lives, but also this other guy. B says all he needs to be happy in life is me and this other guy, and that he'd be fine with me also having some other guy. He says he'd be fine with me also being open and hooking up with other guys. It sounds kind of perfect being with someone I already have a great friendship with, who I also have great sex with, and being able to hook up with other people. It does sound good, doesn't it?
I know, right?
These things always sound good on paper.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The only issue I have with B being in a serious relationship with another person at the same... The only issue is that I don't want him to be in a serious relationship, I think is what he's trying to say here. I thought my feelings for B were completely gone, but I could see myself with him too. Just me and him together, but in an open sexual relationship. So I think his beef is that that this other person would be just as important as he would be.
Yeah, his fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a justified fear. And the truth is, I don't know how everybody thinks. I know how I'd think, which is if I start boning someone else and things are going well, I'm probably going to want to be with someone else, that person. The person I'm having fun with, the person I'm boning, who's... Like, I just don't get it. Like,
I know.
To me,
it's hard to concentrate on two people. And if you really want to be with this other person, but now you're sort of with your B person, like, I don't know.
I kind of would get maybe if you're both super into each other and doing it. And then there's a, you know, the occasional club night where you meet someone else and have a fling.
Yeah.
Maybe that's different than this other person. He likes this other person too.
Yeah.
I don't.
If I had you and this other guy, my life would be perfect. Weird. So just to revisit that last sentence, I thought my feelings for B were completely gone, but I could see myself with him too, just me and him together in an open sexual relationship, but not a thruple with another guy who I don't even know or have feelings for. So it sounds like this guy's asking to be the centerpiece in a three-way relationship, almost like that our writer here would also somehow have an involvement with this person. Because he brought up the word thruple. I can't help but think, does B really want to be with me? Am I just a safe choice because he knows I care for him and we're already friends with benefits? Or does B just want his cake and all these other cakes too?
Mm-hmm.
Help, I need as much bad advice as possible. Thanks and slurps all around, M.
I couldn't
handle any of this.
Yeah, to me, it's about what you can handle and what you can do inside your own head without trying to put stuff on other people involved, because you're not going to get to contact the other dude and say, hey, look, let's work it out. I get Wednesday, Fridays because they're important. Like, that's,
yeah.
So you can't, you're not involved in that side of the deal. And so he's in the middle working both sides and getting everything he wants at all times, and
you're
you
always available to him. This other guy's available to him.
Right. And you need to be on the sidelines capable of saying that's good enough for me. And if that's good enough for you, great. I was trying, as Sarah was reading the story, I was trying to think, let's say I'm with, I don't want to use a real life scenario because I don't want anyone to, you know,
just
go, oh, so let's just say I'm 25-year-old me. Okay.
Okay.
So I haven't even met Christina yet, but let's say I meet someone and they're great. And and we're getting along great and everything's cool. And then I meet someone who's way out of my league. So fucking hot. So like it, for lack of a better, you know, way of describing it, she just, I want to bone her so badly because she's so fucking hot and has my number. You know, that's so called,
yes, yes,
all the things. Every, just even a look from her melts me.
Burning there. You, right.
Right. So imagine that scenario, right? Except that this other person, the smoking hot chick's like, yeah, I would fuck you. But I have a boyfriend and I have, you know, other things going on as well. That's a scenario that I wouldn't be able to manage even as a young man. There were things I could do, like kind of have sex for sport, so to speak. You know, you have a one night stand and you do it and you high five and you're done.
So
I did that a few times and it was fine.
Yeah.
But to be in a situation where I know the chick I really am into is out with her boyfriend right now.
Mm-hmm. And that he does sort of know about you and that he's like that they're open to all this kind of, I don't know. I feel like some people are too fast for me, you know, like they can handle so much more than I can. Like I can't handle John also seeing other chicks, even though he doesn't, not that like, and I can't be having a side piece. Like it's just not, like, I can't handle it, man.
But look, that's the point I'm making is, you know, these are situations that people get themselves into either because they like to feel abused.
Or I only deserve this much.
Or they are capable of, you know, putting things in their place. And if that's the case, then great. And if that's something that, you know, this guy isn't going to ultimately be jealous and you're not going to be jealous and you could both do whatever you want. We hear Scott talk.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, seeing my husband bone someone else would be so hot. Okay. That's, you know, his sensibilities. That
right.
works for him. That's great. I would say for you, if you're someone who can handle that, then good for you. But I wouldn't be able to. And you shouldn't feel bad about yourself if you can't.
I think, too, when I really think about what this situation is, not a lot would change for you, M. Like, you see this guy and you bone him occasionally and you're really good friends. And he also sees other people. Like, I know he's at, I guess he's asking you, you know, let's make this the thing that we're going to do forever. But honestly, you might do it forever anyway. Like, I'm not exactly sure what changes. Are you moving
in
together?
Well, I thought they stopped doing it and stopped seeing each other. But they're still best friends now. And now that he's saying,
oh, yes. No, they
got back together, kind of.
No. So they were friends for years. Uh-huh. Then they became friends with benefits.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that continues on. Huh. They two friends having a gay old time, and then suddenly this guy says, I can see myself with you for the rest of my life, but there's also this other guy.
But I got to do this too.
Right. And so maybe you just go, yeah, you do you. And you just continue to, like, you already didn't care if he was boning someone else, clearly. I don't know what changes for you. Like, I guess because he's trying to put an official thing on it, maybe? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like it's either a huge problem because you're making it one, or it's really not a problem at all because really nothing's changing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I think the putting it all on the table and making... Okay, I'll give you another example probably more likely, which is you're seeing someone, but it's still new enough. It's not the same as these guys, but that's because they're gay guys and they're friends with benefits and it's different. But let's say you're seeing someone, it's early days, and you're boning and you really like them and you don't want them boning someone else, but you're not prepared yet to say,
right,
it's too soon to try and say, hey, can you not? Well, as soon as you find out they are boning other people, that's where you find out if you're really invested in this person and how bad that hurts.
Right. Yes.
That would hurt you, and then you would find out, wow, I actually think I love this guy or this girl because I'm injured by the fact that they're seeing someone else.
Well, at that point, my logical thought is that I say, okay, it's me and only me, or it's not me at all. Because I can't handle you. I love you. Here's how I feel. And maybe for some people that works, and the person goes, oh, all right, well, I'll just, you know. You were really my primary as well. And other people might go, yeah, okay, not you then.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, that's the answer there, is for M to say that. If the M
if
sees,
it means to him that I'm your primary.
If they can see themselves being with this person, they have to lay that out. Unless, you know, unless they're advanced enough to be able to handle that.
Right.
The Mill Valley swinger life, you know.
Well,
there are deals where people make it work for them. And one of the things I think about, I think I mentioned this to you once before, Sarah, is the girl with the dragon tattoo in the book, the main guy has an editor that he loves.
I had totally forgotten that
he
kind
of loves her.
Situation happens.
They're long-term friends
and
they bone.
Yeah.
But she's also a married lady.
And the married guy knows, right?
He knows, but he's not, like, there's the way it reads is that, yes, they know about each other, but they don't have a choice. Like, I don't think the husband.
Right. Like, this is.
If the husband were to say, you can't bone that guy anymore, we're married, I think the husband fears he'd be told.
Not the husband anymore.
Yeah, I do this. This is what I do. I take off with this. What's his name? Mikkel? Michael?
Mikkel, I think. Miguel?
I can't remember, but either way. It works because they all just sort of look the other direction.
Right.
And there's
It's not loving between the two men. They're not super psyched about each other. But they don't fight, and there's no little digs or anything. But it's laid out in a way that it's clear she's the person dictating the terms.
Right. Mm. And so, you know, if everyone involved can sort of function within that, great. Just for the sake of conversation, would both those guys be okay if a third guy got pulled in? In the book, I mean.
Yeah.
You know, that's now suddenly they have to go, wait, there's another guy in our
Triangle?
I mean, this is now a square. With the circumstances, because they were organic and happened, and it's the way it's gone, and it's we're kind of take it or leave it now. But
I don't want to be part of your harem.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what happens if that guy who's your best friend and your partner and you guys are for life, except for this other dude, now says, oh, I've pulled another guy into my mix. That's okay, right?
Well, if you're into massive orgies, maybe it's perfect.
Maybe it is okay. Right. Well, that's the thing. I just don't know what this guy's tolerance level is. Like,
and we're not advanced enough to understand this, to comprehend, you know, that life.
I know.
Right? I mean, it sounds like a really fun idea in a perfect world.
It feels like a really evolved thing that you can truly separate love and your feelings for someone from sex. Like, they're so intertwined. Sex is like this intimate thing that you do with someone you love. Like, it's almost ingrained in us. And to be able to allow that to also happen with this other person it goes beyond my sensibilities
for sure. And look, if you want to put out an ad in for a second in the
casual encounters,
smallest penises in the world ever, sure, you okay? I might be able to stomach that. If you end up with a guy who's, you know, 1 centimeter, I might be able to hang. But
I know he's not thrashing you. I know he's not smashing that like button.
But it's all tough. Like, now you're getting into the minutiae and the minor details of
your mental illness.
What can I keep up with? I handle it if he's got a 9-inch dick? I don't think I can.
Yeah, I can't. As long as I might be able to handle it if he has a 9-inch dick, as long as he's got like a huge growth on his face that also has a dick. Like, that would be. I'm like, well, the poor guy, I mean.
Or if he's got some kind of syndrome where he shits every time he comes. Like, you know.
It's a lot to put up with, but I do it for the 9-inch dick.
Or sometimes, you know, I'm just so happy for you as I watch you get pounded away by this huge fucking cock, right?
Yeah.
So
do
I'm
I
just
have
so
to
happy
know about his cock?
That I you're mean, happy.
right.
as you get pounded away.
I like how I became a man in this whole thing. I'm like, yeah.
Anyway, okay. I don't know how to answer your question any other way than to say you need to know what you can handle.
Right. You need to really decide what you're...
I don't think you need to force yourself to handle things. I think we do that a lot as young people. We pursue things that scare us to try and master them. It makes us feel grown up. That's why we smoke or drink or drug or hang out with older people.
Or have open relationships.
Because we just think that this is the way to right. master things and be grown up. But ultimately, if you're denying your true feelings about stuff, you're hurting yourself.
I have friends who were together. I did not know them at the time when they had an open relationship, and it was brief. It was like in the beginning of their relationship, and they were all, you know, all apparently all psyched for themselves about how open-minded they were and stuff. And I guess that he was getting ready on a Friday night, and she's like, "Oh, where are you going?" He goes, "Oh, I have a date." And she went, "Okay, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. This is no good. It's not working for me."
Is that serious?
Yeah, totally. And they make jokes about it now because they've been a couple for 30 plus years. And, you know, they tried. They tried to do it. And I guess she did go out and bone some other guy. And then when he went to go out and bone some other girl, she's like, "No, I can't do it. I can't do it. Nope. But she realized in that moment, "Oh, I can't let him go on a date with someone."
Mm.
The end.
Mm-hmm. Good for yeah. them, though, that they made that.
I know they got past it. And right. He was like, "Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I love you.
Right.
But since you were going out boning people, I figured I should, too."
I wanted
you to feel good about this.
That's what I'm talking about, though, is that feeling. Now you feel like, well, if I've let this person that I love go do that, I have to or I'm a loser. Right.
Right. Right. Well, like, this person's doing it. Like, they went out, and I do want to be with them, and so I guess I'm going to go do it, too. I don't know if he went out on that particular date. Like
that night?
Yeah, but that was the end of that. Him getting ready for a date at their house that they live in together. She was like, "Nah."
All right, last one, honey. I'll be back in a couple hours.
Yeah.
Last one. I already made plans.
Yeah.
So, you know, pit for pat. All right, that's going to do it. Thank you so much for sending in your bad advices. Bryn, BRYN, at RadioAlice.com. Put a secret show or bad advice in the heading. And Vincent, the magic Friday words.
The end.